God's peace and grace be with you this morning. It's wonderful to be with you on Pentecost Sunday. It's a very significant day in the church year. Now, we won't quite elevate that to Christmas and Easter, but it is a very meaningful day. Meaningful day for the church, inside the church, meaningful day for us in our lives as we remember how we are filled with God's Spirit, and meaningful as we think about those who are outside the church walls also. Pentecost has its roots in the Old Testament, a festival called the Festival of Weeks, or sometimes also called the Festival of Harvest, remembering God's blessings of bringing the grain to the harvest stage and thanking God for the harvest. The festival was celebrated 50 days after the second day of Passover, Passover being the first and foremost greatest festival that the Jewish people celebrated, remembering their deliverance out of the land of Egypt. This festival ranks second, and it takes place 50 days after Pentecost, after Passover. And it's also then taking place 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, actually the 50th day of the resurrection, the day of his resurrection being the first day, and then Monday the second day. So today would be 50 days after the celebration, or the 50th day of the celebration of Easter, of Christ's victory over sin, death, and Satan. We're looking at the second lesson today, written by Luke, second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And Luke begins his narrative here: when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered in one place. Well, who are the they all? There were 120 people that had been gathered at the ascension when Jesus levitated, was absorbed and obscured by the clouds, and ascended into heaven. But before he ascended into heaven, he told them, in a few days, you will be clothed with power from on high. You will be baptized with fire. Go into the city and wait. Here they are, waiting, gathered, worshiping, when suddenly there's a huge sound, the sound of rushing wind. It wasn't actual wind, it was the sound. Inside their gathering, but heard outside throughout the city of Jerusalem also. People came running, but that wind was so loud that people heard it throughout the city. Maybe like an F5 tornado, the screeching sound of wind. There's another symbol, the fire. Imagine people sitting around you, suddenly a divided little tongue of fire resting on their heads, not burning the hair, not even singeing it. Wind and fire, both symbols of the Holy Spirit. And Peter writes, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were talking about the mighty acts of God in tongues. So all the people who have come from around the area are here listening to all of this. This is one of three festivals when people, Jewish people from around the Roman world, come together to celebrate. Remember all the names that were read? There were Jews, devout people from every nation in the Roman Empire, from Rome itself, the northern side of the Mediterranean, through other areas along the Mediterranean and inland are mentioned, even to the east, perhaps as far as from where the wise men came, even into Egypt, Libya, all around the Mediterranean. People had come into Jerusalem, and here they are, now listening to the Galileans speaking in languages that they had not studied. Wouldn't you love that? Be able to speak another language, didn't have to study it. And they were speaking about the mighty acts of God. Creation, the flood, how God saved Noah, how God rescued people out of Egypt, this nation that God had formed from Abraham on, brought them through the Red Sea and the walls of water on either side. Surely they would have been speaking about God's mighty act of salvation, of Jesus, his birth, his life, his miracles, his suffering and death, his resurrection, and now his ascension into heaven, and all that that meant for people. They were filled with God's Spirit. Well, they asked the good Lutheran question, what does this mean? However, others were mocking. They've had too much to drink, filled with new wine. Well, Peter gets up and he addresses that very fact. No, folks, not too much wine. Too early in the morning, around 9 o'clock. They'd gathered even before 9. And on festival days, the Jews didn't have their breakfast until maybe 10 o'clock or so. And in addition to that, when they had breakfast, it was bread. And they didn't drink wine with only bread. They drank wine when they had meat. And that would have been the evening meal. And no, it's not a hangover from that either. They are filled with the Spirit, is what Peter says, and using the words of Joel. Joel, who had spoken some words over 800 years before this event takes place. That's incredible. Peter remembers, and Peter, filled with the Spirit, speaks, and quoting from the prophet Joel, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." There it is. He will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And here's the event taking place. In the last days. Well, perhaps we should define the last days. Actually, it's a long period of time. The last days begin with what's taken place in the last 33 years, and especially the last 53 days or so. The last days begin with Jesus' first coming to this earth, coming down from heaven as God and taking on the form of human flesh, in his suffering, in his death, and now his ascension. That is the beginning, the work of Jesus in his first coming. And we are in the last days now until he comes again to bring this world to an end and to usher us into the kingdom of glory. So in these last days, Joel says, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Prophesy. What do you think of when you hear the word prophesy? You're thinking of foretelling the future as Joel did here? Well, actually, the word prophesy means something different in this place. When sons and daughters shall prophesy, even the servants, male servants, female servants, shall prophesy, it's the proclaiming of God's word. That's what prophesy means here. It's not just the preaching from the pulpit, but it's you as well, as you would speak God's word to others. So, there's the history of what took place, how God's Spirit came, and people were filled with God's Spirit. That wasn't the end of it. God continued to fill people with His Spirit, and He continues today, and He will in the future, to fill people with God's Spirit. When were you filled with God's Spirit? Can you remember it? I can't. It was when I was 3 weeks old. And it may be true for many of you that you were filled with the Spirit at your baptism, as an infant, or at any stage in your life. You may have been filled with God's Spirit before you were baptized. Perhaps you didn't, in early years, didn't know about Jesus. And so as you came to read God's Word, the Spirit may have been at work and filled you. Or someone may have spoken to you the very message of Jesus Christ, of His life, His death, His resurrection, and all that that means for us. Whenever you were filled with the Spirit, God forgave your sin. He removed you from the clutches of Satan. He made you a part of His kingdom. And He gave you an inheritance, the inheritance of eternal life. An inheritance that will never fade away. And He made you a part of His kingdom, a part of His Christian church here on earth. What does that mean, to be a part of the kingdom, to be a part of the church? I'm going to take us to what is called our district focus, the Rocky Mountain District focus, because that focus summarizes the work of the Christian church. And it's the walking orders for people within the church, how we live out our lives now as we are filled with the Spirit. It's three phrases, 9 words, and you'll be able to say those words once you leave this morning. Know the truth, understand the culture, live the faith. know the truth. The source of truth is God's Word. God's Word is truth. Jesus used that in a prayer to his Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Will set you free from sin, set you free from Satan, and make you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ." Beautiful gospel in the truth. That's where we find our salvation, in Jesus. And as Luke writes a couple chapters down, further in his writing of the Acts of the Apostles, there's salvation in no one other than in this name of Jesus. Well, as you look around your neighborhood, as you look around Greeley, how many people know the truth? And as the surrounding miles are surveyed, how many people would confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior? Well, you know the answer to that. Maybe not how many, but you know that not everyone yet knows the truth of Jesus. And as we look around, we note that people may live somewhat differently than we do. And that's where the second phrase comes in after know the truth. It's understand the culture. And we have a lot of talk about culture today. There's sort of a Christian culture. There's a culture of the world. But as individuals and in our families, we grow up in a culture. We can define it by what we eat, how we dress, what our home life was like, relationship between parents and children, relationship with brothers and sisters, what our family values were, what our traditions were. So we each have our own culture. And if you're married, or you have a close relationship with someone else, you recognize that your spouse or this other person didn't grow up with exactly the same in the same culture that you did. There are some differences there. And you may notice it even more with the people who live next door to you or others in the community, maybe even of different ethnic backgrounds. The people you work alongside may have different values than you do. And so there are just so many differences. And it's important that we understand the culture of other people. You know from God's Word that there are things that are acceptable and unacceptable. There's a difference between right and wrong. You know what's moral and immoral, what's ethical and not ethical. Those all come into play in our culture. And sometimes we talk about the way the world is headed, or the way our own country is headed, or how our community is headed, and so on. It's important to understand those things. For we are rubbing shoulders with people of all different types of culture. And it's important that we understand that. For that helps us to live the faith. And how we relate to one another. So we live in the midst of all these people. And God's word has something to say to us about how we live. It says, not to be conformed to this world, which would be a culture of the world, not to be conformed to that, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And who renews the mind? It's the Holy Spirit, the one who has filled us. He renews our mind so that we know what is good and right and acceptable and what is God's perfect will. And Jesus, just before he ascended, said, you are to be my witnesses to those people beginning right there in Jerusalem, surrounding area of Judea, Samaria, totally different culture, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. Well, you don't have to go to the uttermost ends of the earth to be a witness for Jesus. It can begin right here in Greeley, wherever you live. The United States is the third largest mission field in the world. And so it's in this context that we live the faith. Filled with the Spirit, we live the Christian faith, in contrast to the culture of the world. We are witnesses wherever we are. It's not only our words by which we witness, but it's by our actions. And the world is watching how we live. And sometimes it's said that as individuals, you are the fifth gospel. You are the gospel that people see as you live out your life, as you live the faith. There are some times when people are just plain mean. People will treat you harshly, speak ill of you, cut you off in traffic. You're waiting in a long line, somebody ahead butts in ahead of you. How does the world react? Probably not very kindly. Maybe even some harsh words or other words. But as we live the faith, what would the response of the Christian be? Hopefully it would be different than the world. Hopefully we would speak more kindly. And there are times when we need to confront someone and we need to speak the truth, but we do so with love. When someone seriously offends you, sins against you, what's the temptation in the world? Retaliation. Tit for tat. Maybe to hold a grudge. Even saying, I can never forgive that person for what he or she did. And the response of the Christian is, only because we are filled with the Spirit and with God's help can we forgive. And why? Because God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus for all of our sin. And we can be like Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. So as we live the faith, we remember who we are. We are God's child. We are a sister of Christ, a brother of Christ, and we are brothers and sisters in the Christian faith. And we live by Jesus' new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. And he came not to be served, but to serve. And so we love and we serve our neighbor, no matter what the culture is of the individual. A week ago yesterday, I was part of a servant event through our congregation and another congregation from the western part of Colorado that came to join us, cleaning up a huge mess of stuff in the backyard, painting inside the house. And the friend of this lady, who is of another ethnic background, this friend said, "I can't believe you're doing this. People don't do this today." And she said it repeatedly. Well, people do this today. That's how we live the faith, loving and serving one another. And that gives rise to evidence of Jesus in our actions. And it can also give rise to our speech, to speak of the one who served us. Sometimes people will say, "Why do you do something like that or something else?" And it's a beautiful opportunity to talk about Jesus, the one who served us, how he served us, and we serve him. That kind of comes back full circle, doesn't it? Because to speak about Jesus, you need to know the truth. You need to know about him to speak about him. You are filled with the Spirit. You know the truth, and the goal as a Christian is to continue to grow in the truth. And we strive to understand people around us. And with God's help, and with the patience that God gives us, we can understand the culture, the lives of people. Not that we necessarily agree with them, but we understand. And among those people, filled with the Spirit, God gives us the power and the strength to live the faith. Amen.